Welcome back to another episode of Trending Thoughts. I'm your host, Torrey Smith. I'm excited about this one, man. We have a hometown hero to me coming on. My brother, Jamon Bushrod from King George, Virginia. A 12-year NFL vet, two-time Pro Bowler. He also has a ring on his finger from his time down there in New Orleans with the Saints. Bushrod, what's going on with your brother?
Hey, man, things are all good down here in South Florida, man. Glad to be on the podcast, bro.
Man, every time you mention being in South Florida, a little part of me hates, man. As happy as I am for you and your success, I hate a little bit, man. Like, Florida has it, the weather, the ocean, you can fish. I have a little bit of everything down there, man.
It's different down here, man. I won't lie to you. You know, right now it's kind of in the rainy season, but I can deal with that because, you know, November, December, January, February, it's in, you know, it's like low 70s, maybe high 60s. Sometimes you get low 80s, man. It's South Florida's different, man. It's a lot for, you know, myself and the family to do. So it's not a bad situation right now. It's definitely not permanent. You know how I miss up north.
Yeah, man. Speaking of up north, you were back home in Virginia just a couple of weeks ago with your golf tournament. You are the founder of the Visualize and Rise Foundation. Y'all make sure y'all go and check that out. They're doing a lot of great things back home in King George, Virginia. Tell the people a little bit about some of the work that y'all are doing.
The Visualize and Rise Foundation, man, it started 11 years ago. Just like you just said, we just finished up our 10th annual celebrity golf tournament. And that has really fueled our Visualize and Rise Scholarship Fund, man. We've been able to distribute. After this year, it was a little bit different distributing scholarships. You know, it just wasn't our normal situation, man. But I think we just went over the 275, 280 mark when it comes to how many book scholarships that we have delivered out. Wow. in King George and surround, and probably like 9 or 10 surrounding counties, man. So it's been a really cool situation that we're able to do that. But we also have our hand in a couple other different ways of supporting around the community, like with the YMCA. We have a YMCA membership program. We help out around the holidays. We help out a couple different high schools in that area, especially King George. You know, for people who don't know me, my family and I, we had some adversity hit us my last year in the league. I think we'll probably talk about it a little bit later, but we're able to help out Wolf-Hirschhorn syndrome awareness and help out some families as well. We'll talk. I guess I can kind of get into it a little bit right now, man. I had a baby girl who passed away on us after a week of being born, and it was going to be an uphill battle with us because she was born with a chromosome disorder. Mm-hmm. So the Visualize and Rise Foundation, we partner with another foundation, and we're able to create awareness, and we're able to actually talk to some families who are affected and hear their stories and hear their journeys. And it makes me feel good that we're able in a place financially that we can just take some of that burden off of their, you know, off of their plate. So, you know, we have our hand in a few different things, but it makes us feel good that, you know, we have this opportunity. You know, I mean, look, I'm from King George, you're from Colonial Beach, went to Stafford. So it's like that community is, they need it. And I'm just glad we're able to be there and do it.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you are doing it. It's always been something, like I said, I looked up to you from afar for a long time, and you've always given back to home. And a lot of people, you know, their lives are impacted and changed because of you and the work that y'all are doing. So I know the folks back home appreciate it. So on behalf of them, I want to say thank you. I know I look forward to the events each and every year. Every year that I can make it, I messed up the scheduling this year. That was completely my fault. But every year that I can make it, you know, I'm there because I know your heart and your family's heart. You know, you want to talk about a community and a foundation. I mean, the whole family's on board, from pops to mom, the sister to the sister, everyone is there. It's a whole family affair. Aunties, everyone's uncles, out there.
Extended family, friends, man. I'm telling you, it's you know, Torrey, I mean, let's keep it real. I'm from King George. I'm from right down Route 3. And so I never really had NFL aspirations growing up, and Visualize and Rise pretty much came from like a single conversation that I had with my offensive line coach at Towson, man. And he changed my mindset, you know, and that's what Visualize and Rise is about. As we continue to build over the next few years, I want to show other individuals, you know, other kids of what it's like to venture out, to go off and go to school or travel. And, you know, there's a lot of things to see out here in the world. So, man, we're just going to keep building. And I appreciate the words of, you know, you saying you look up to me, but then I look at your story and it's very inspiring. And I look up to you and what you're doing now. So you keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to keep doing what we're doing, and we're going to make this thing work.
For sure, man. And I want to touch on something that you said about your daughter, Jordan. You know, for sure, my family was praying for y'all, you know, when you lost her, because mm-hmm. we had a scare ourselves with
yes,
Cam. When Cam was a baby, I remember talking to you about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we thought Cam had trisomy 18, mm-hmm. Trisomy 21 is Down syndrome. We thought he had trisomy 18. Cam was born. Cam had 12 fingers and 11 toes.
Wow.
Like, they were like, you know, when he's in the womb, you know, like, they're like, man, this isn't normal. What's going on? You know, mm-hmm. there were certain levels there. Chanel's health was kind of flashing a little bit. And it was a very scary time for us. Mm-hmm. And to know that, you know, you went through it, and, you know, my heart for sure aches for y'all. But I know that, you know, your strength that your family is showing is huge for everyone else that's going through it, that can relate to it. And, you know, you guys are going to change a lot of lives just like you have been, just mm-hmm. by being yourselves and doing the work that you're doing and living your life and sharing it with everyone as well. A lot of people, you know, these things happen, right? Like, it's not anything that you can control. But sometimes people like to keep it to themselves, especially people in the limelight, you right. know? And I think it says a lot about you for being comfortable sharing that. And I'm sure you share it to help others.
Well, that, honestly, I share it to help others, and I share it to help myself, you know, and my wife is, we kind of have the same mindset, because going back when I first heard about this, this was the beginning of the 2018 season. And it was like literally right before week one, you know, you get those 3 days off of camp and you come in for that Monday practice. And we had a Monday practice, and I think I went and had lunch with the wife after practice because we didn't have any meetings. And I went home to take a nap because I was, you know, I was kind of beat. And then she went off and she had the doctor's appointment, and I woke up to like 15 text messages and 10 calls from her. And I'm like, okay, something ain't right. And I can remember just going back to that time. It was a very difficult time for us. But I remember getting the news, and we kind of processed everything after we went to the hospital, and we were just looking at each other, you know, that night, just kind of laying in the bed, just kind of figuring out what's going to happen next. Because, you know, this child was going to be born with a cleft lip. She had a cleft lip, cleft palate. She had two heart issues. So you're looking at 3 to 4 surgeries right there for a child who isn't even born yet. You know what I'm saying? And she's going to have to deal with the, you know, not being able to walk on time, speak like other, you know, like kids, things that we do normal, you know, and
we take maybe for granted.
We absolutely take it for granted. And I'm sitting here looking at my wife like, what are we going to do? Like, you know, everything just seemed like it was going good. You know, we're about to start this new season, and now here, bam, this is the card you're dealt with. But I can remember going back to that situation, T, and I remember looking at her and I was like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sell the house in Florida. We're going to buy a place in New Orleans. We're going to buy a place in Virginia, and we're going to surround this child and surround ourselves with family and friends. And, you know, because that's the way I felt like we had to get it done. And those were the two places we were most comfortable with. And then everything happens. And who was there for us? You know, we're in New Orleans, and we're surrounded by family, friends. We're surrounded by the locker room, tremendous locker room of guys down there. Without them, without my family, without our extended family, man, baby girl passed, and we had 3 weeks. It was 3 weeks we had people in the house staying with us the whole time. So it's like we didn't even have time to be, you know what I'm saying, sulking or down about it. We had people there who had their arms around us, loving us. And it opened up the door for me to talk to other people. So kind of going back to what you were saying, like, it helped us talking about it. It helps me so much, because now we're in a place that we can, that we'll be able to, like, you know, take some of that burden off other people. And that's what's going to make us happy. And that's what's going to keep Jordan's name alive.
And y'all are for sure loved. And I know y'all know that. I don't have to tell you that. You know, you see it each and every day, you know, about the sure love that people show you. And there's nothing like a bushrod gathering. So, you know, I hope y'all felt it and knew that everyone was praying for y'all and love y'all as well. Did that play any role in, and you retiring?
Yeah, I would say it did. I did physically. I was dealing with getting another hand, another thumb and wrist surgery. I was dealing with that. It was on my dominant hand, but I did have the opportunity to go to Carolina to play. I think I called you up just to ask about the culture and everything that surrounds that football team up there. But I had opportunities. This was like the one free agency. I had like five or six teams calling me, and I just looked at it like, I'm cool. Like I'm good. I'm okay stepping away from the game. Unfortunately, my last NFL game was the Rams no call on that pass interference. So I do have to live with that. But for me, that's a big deal.
At least you didn't have to come back the next year and experience another sickening loss.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They've been going through it down there in New Orleans, man. So they need to they need a good year in the postseason for sure. But when it comes to retirement, dude, it was such an easy decision for me to walk away, because after everything we had been through, perspective is something that really has taken over me. Just kind of looking at the situation and where we are, I'm okay. I was okay stepping away from the game, because come to find out, after I took that visit to Carolina, my wife sprung it on me that we're going to have our fourth child, and we were pregnant again, and all of my wife's, all of her pregnancies have been, she's gone early every time. And, so I guess you could say she's high risk, and she's on bed rest for like three of the last four. So I was just like, man, I'll step away from the game. I'll take her to do, to all of her appointments two times a week, wherever they are, because like I said, she's high risk. So she had to be monitored every week. So me stepping away from the game was one of the easiest decisions I had to make. And when I see my boys out there at camp now, and I see, these games going on, I do miss the game, but I don't miss that training camp. I don't miss them practices. I don't miss getting my body ready on a daily basis just to go hit somebody.
And I agree right with you. I'm in the same boat. When it comes to your family, man, it makes it clear when you put your family first when it comes to making that decision. And I think that's why I was more at peace. I remember having that conversation with you, like, man, Carolina's a great organization. Ron Rivera's the man. I don't know if I'm going to be there because his knee isn't working right. But
right. Honestly, if you was going to, if you had that situation where you might have been in there, I like you said, we had the conversation, and I just didn't know. I knew Ron Rivera and what, the type of teams that he put on that field. I have a lot of respect for him. It would have been kind of cool, to have the opportunity to play alongside you, but it didn't work out. But we retired the same year, so it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good, man. So you retired now. Mm-hmm. What does a normal day look like? Because I know for sure we had a great time on your podcast, The Bush and Me Show. That's me with two E's.
Two E's.
Y'all make sure y'all check that out. We had a great time talking about Michael Jordan.
MJ.
And the special, the series they had put out that we all couldn't wait for since we were all stuck in the house. It was an awesome special. And by the time it ended, I was able to convert Bushrod over to believing that LeBron James is the best basketball player to ever.
Lies.
But no, we had a great time, man, on the podcast. Y'all go check that out. It was awesome. We had a great time each and every. It was something to look forward to at a time when we were all just stuck in the house. So y'all go check that out. But the season's about to start right now, man. Do you have, it's the week before the season starts. Do you have that little feeling of it's about to happen, it's real,
It's game one, man. This is the start of your whole season, and you literally just finished camp. You're going in, you're getting ready to play the team now, and it's like you're overcome with emotions because you can't wait for the regular season to come. So now it's different, man. Retirement life is different. It lets me focus on a lot of other things. I'm able to take some of the, take some of the stress off the wife around here in the house. We do have a newborn. So, we had to get back into that stage of life. And I do have two older kids now. So, no, just keeping them busy, keeping myself busy. One thing that I've really been doing is making sure that I'm getting my health and getting my body
Trimming the
right.
bush.
Trimming the bush. You can take that hashtag however you want it, but it's strictly for me trying to slim myself down a little bit and just try to live a healthier lifestyle, man, because I played a lot of plays in this league. I think 7,500 play, almost 8,000 plays in this league, and it's like you do feel it. And I don't want to, I didn't want, I don't want to be, I played at what, 320, 325. I don't, I have no desire to be that big anymore. And now I'm in the high twos, and I'm trying to continue to keep going. You feel me? So I'm trying to figure out what that life is like. I'm trying shirt off summer. Well, summer's almost over, but it's South Florida, so it always feels like summer. But like, I'm trying to figure out what that feels like. Being lower weight, good health. Not eating like a maniac every day because I'm trying to, keep this weight on me. So it's just really been about spending time with the family, getting my body right, and now focusing on me outside the game, outside of the game, just figuring out what I want to do next, working on myself, reading a lot more, getting some good stuff to in my brain so I can start focusing on educating myself on different things.
That's what's like, and I can relate to that. That's my exact same experience. I'm doing some local media, and just trying to figure out other things. Figure out what you like. I'm spending a lot more time with the family. I'm watching. It's different preparing for games than not playing. I for sure miss competing. I miss practicing and seeing the fruits of your labor on Sunday. I miss that rush, But I'm completely
I
fine
mean,
watching from the couch.
you said, yeah, man, straight
I'm
up. Like
completely fine.
you said you missed that rush. Like, I mean, I've been asked this a few times. I'm kind of switching it up on you on Trending Thoughts, but like, how is it going? Like, how do you think the game is going to be with no fans, bro? Like, no
It's gonna
fans in
be
the stands.
weird, man. It's like practice when they just pump that white noise in. You know what I'm talking about? It's just loud noise. That's it. Like it's not the same, man. I tell people all the time. When I used to run a deep route, sometimes I wouldn't look up until I heard the crowd. Like straight up, you're running down the field and you just hear, oh, and it's coming
And
up.
you better not miss
Yeah, you bet, man, tracking that thing, man, it's up to the moon, it feels like. And that rush right there, and when you catch it, or if you don't catch it, the sigh of relief or the eruption, like that's something that I'm never gonna get that rush anywhere else. So I for
Man,
sure
no,
miss,
that's
I'm definitely gonna miss that. And I still love it from a fan perspective. I went to a few Ravens games last year, and to still see it and watch things how they played out, I for sure enjoyed it. And I'm not a person that's like, oh, I have any regrets, but I'm just like, I look at that field like, man, I really was out there. You know what I mean? Like I'm
Man, yeah,
just
exactly.
thankful that I had the opportunity to do it.
It's funny you say that. I wish one of the balls that you didn't catch was when you came up when you came up to Soldier when you came up to Soldier Field and beat us. What was it? I think that it was a walk off. It was a
It was a
walk off
walk
ball,
off
right?
in overtime. It was in San
Oh,
Francisco, man.
I was so sick. I didn't even want to see you after
Hey, that was one of the coolest plays of my career. But everyone wants to have that walk off,
Man.
man. Like that was. Do you know how that felt? I saw him call the play, and I was
Yeah,
like,
I know
I'm
how it
like,
felt.
y'all block. This is gonna be a touchdown. Y'all meet me in the end zone, and broke wide open. Blaine Gabbert dropped a dime, ran on the sideline, holding the ball up. I saw y'all safety take a horrible angle. I'm like, he doesn't stand a chance. I'm running right down the sideline. And man, that adrenaline, man, was crazy. And talking to you after the game, it's all love, but I can for
It's all
sure
love,
tell you like the family
I
and stuff like
was
that, you like, man, nah,
hey, not right now. This is not how I saw this going. I did
Yeah,
not see this
man.
going like that, man.
I
Seriously.
love the fact that that's in the history book. So no matter how old we get, I can bring that moment up. Like, hey, you
Oh
remember
yeah,
that one time at Soldier Field?
I'm all listening to me. I'm always gonna I'm gonna give you a hard time about it every time we can talk about it for sure.
Hey, man, but since we both are very content with being at home with our family, trying to figure out what our next life is, what our next passion is, and really newest challenges. What do you think about Josh McCown? If they called you right now and they were like, hey, Jamon, I want to pay you $12,000 a week to be on the practice squad. You can stay at home in sunny Miami, and we only need you if the starter goes down. What are you saying?
Just in case. Yeah, I'll do it. Ain't no promises how I'm gonna look when I get in there. But look, $12,000 to sit at the crib. I mean, first off, that's unheard of. Shout out to the NFL for expanding the practice squad and even doing that. But like, it just gives Josh McCown another year. I mean, this dude's went on year 18 and he's on practice squad, but he's at the crib though. So that's,
man, Josh McCown is a legend and one of the good guys in this league's history, man. So I'm excited for him, and I'm happy for him because I'm telling you what.
Oh, big time.
I hope Carson holds up because Carson's my boy. You know, I love Carson to death. I want him to be healthy, and I believe he's going to be healthy. We go pray for that. But Josh, I'm so happy for him in this situation. Like, man. My man has a daughter in college and is still playing ball. Like, that is the craziest thing to me. When you think about the NFL and the way it works and guys' age, that says a lot about him, and he's a great athlete.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely does it right. He does it the right way, man. He's a good man of faith. And I had the opportunity to get in the huddle with Josh, man, back when my first year in Chicago when Jay got hurt. Man, I'll never forget the story. We're in Lambeau Monday night, Chicago, Green Bay. You know how big the rivalry is. Jay gets hurt. Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. And we're losing. I think we're losing by like 14 or 7. I don't know what it is, but we're in Green Bay, hard place to play. And this dude comes into the huddle and was like, man, let's go out here and do something special. Let's give our grandkids a story we can tell them by making this comeback. Mm. And we came back and won. And it was just like, man, we ran with that dude for like 6-7 weeks. I think we might have lost one game. So I'm always a McCown fan.
Man, I remember Alshon balling during that stretch, too.
Oh, my God. Did he ever? Man, that's when Alshon got his name. That was like his coming out party, I guess you could say.
Yeah, man. Josh is good, dude, man. Shout out to Josh. But we want to transition a little bit to something that's new for both of us, and that's being a fan. Mm-hmm. Right now, you had the opportunity to play for the Saints, and you want a ring there, so I'm expecting you to be a little biased.
You also had
the opportunity to play for the Bears. And you also had the opportunity to play for the Miami Dolphins. So who do you root for?
I'll be honest with you. Can I give you an order?
go ahead. Put it in order.
I go Saints, Dolphins, Bears.
Okay.
Bears, I mean, I really have no ill feelings. Just the way that my situation was when I left, it was the first and only time I got cut. It was after my ninth year. I got hurt the year that football season before. Should have got surgery, would you know, try to be a tough guy and continue to play. It ended up losing my spot. So it's like I had bitterness, but I didn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just didn't end how my time with the Dolphins and the Saints did. You know, I think the Dolphins kind of just it brought my career back to life a little bit. You know, I felt that spark. I felt that energy when I was down there because a bunch of young guys and, you know, we really meshed well. But, yeah, you know, New Orleans hits different for me. It's super different for me. Like, you know, my wife is from there. Two out of my four kids were born there. We won a Super Bowl there. Made a couple Pro Bowls there. I had, you know, we just have a good time. You know, my family, I remember when I went off and signed a big deal in Chicago, man, like, my family was like, are you sure you want to leave? I'm like, yeah, I got to go. Like, listen, I have to leave. Like, I'm trying to take care of the family for a long period of time. But like, that just goes to show that New Orleans kind of really grasped them and made them feel good. And then, you know, that's just how it is when I go back there and they show me love. So I'm cool with, you know, keeping them as my number one.
Yeah, I believe I have a solid ranking too.
Give it to me.
Carolina's dead last. I love Carolina. I love the coaches to death. But, I mean, I got hurt, so I only played 6 games or something like that. 6 real games. I came back towards the end of the year. But that was the first time, you know, I never really made it through a full season, had surgery, and now I'm on this podcast chilling on the couch. Mm-hmm. So it's no harm, no foul to the Carolina fans. I loved it there. I love playing with Cam. I love my young boys, DJ Moore. And Curtis Samuel, love being around them. A lot of energy, and you know, I have fun being around those cats. In San Francisco, I actually loved the organization. Love Jed York. Think he's a great young leader. I love what they're doing out there right now, even though I was the first person fired by the new regime. You know, I love what they have going on out there. There are a lot of great people, so I'm very happy for their success right now, and I hope it continues. And then Philadelphia has to be number two. It would be a 1A, 1B, but, you know, I played 4 years in Baltimore, so it's tough to kind of top that because I won a Super Bowl in both places. Philadelphia, you know, my wife's from outside of there in Conshohocken, so it was really special to be in that area. Their fans are the most passionate fans in the league, period. And their craziness, and to be able to win a Super Bowl there was special. But then Baltimore, you know, that's home. You know, yeah. I have to tell people all the time, I'm blessed to be able to just continue right on up 95. Went to Stafford High School in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Went to College Park, a little pit stop off of there. And then to start off in Baltimore, man, that was huge for me in my career. And, you know, similar to you, experiencing a tough loss, tough family loss, you know, that team and that organization and those fans were there for me. So that's something that, you know, you can't put a ranking on that.
You can't put a price on that, man. That's love. That's football is family. When they say football is family, when you get in that good locker room, it's very hard to leave. You know, it's very hard to leave those type of environments. So
that's crazy. Yeah, I get it. And they'll still cut you too, though. That's the craziest.
Oh no, they're gonna cut. And honestly, the older I've gotten, the more hip I've gotten to it, and I've started to understand that, you know, the NFL is a revolving door, man. It's take it for what it is. Understand the situation you're in. I mean, that's just life too. It's business. That's just how things are. You know, things have to go on. So when I got, the older I got, the more I started to understand that. But, you know, I definitely enjoyed it.
Man, I used to tell young guys all the time, understand that it's a business.
Yep.
And the earlier you understand that, the better your feelings will be in the long run, because it will hurt your feelings to see, I thought we were family, man. Y'all gonna treat me like this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They have a job. Hey, like, it's a numbers game.
Free agency?
Oh, my goodness. Hey,
free agency? Man, we can get into that. Free agency is tough. Like,
bro.
Don't, you know, they that right there, free agency was definitely skew how you see the higher-ups in the organization. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you feel that you've done everything that you can on this field. You've played hurt. You've played when you honestly just don't really feel like it, but you've practiced, you put yourself in positions. And then when it's time for you to get that big deal and they don't, you know, pay you what you feel like you're worth, or they start out at a disrespectful number, you're like, that's how you feel about me. But at the end of the day, it's a business. They're trying to get you for as low as they can. And you're trying to get as much out of them as possible. So you got to be somewhere in the middle.
Man, you remember when Uncle Phil and Will Smith were hugging it out when Will Smith said his dad didn't want him?
Yep.
He's like, why you don't love me, man?
Yeah, you don't want me, man.
That's how I felt when I'm on the phone with Ozzy, like, Ozzy, like, y'all, what you got for me? He's like, man. These other teams, like, they just have more than we have. I'm sorry. I'm like, nothing? He's like, no, man, like. I'm like, wow, like, I'm really have to go somewhere else. Like, I did not see that coming, but, I mean, it's a business. And it's all love. I see them all the time now. You know, it's I'm actually very involved with them now, so it's all good. I understand the business. And it's crazy because even when I left, I still communicated with everyone damn near like I was still there. So it's always really been love, and I understood the business from day one. So everything worked itself on out. But I wanted to transition to – you know, we talked about our fandom, right? Who were kind of our ranking of places that we played for / are rooting for now. You know, you're a father of four now. And as a parent, you're at the stage now, your kids are old enough where they have their favorite athletes.
Yes.
You know, where they have someone that they really like or a jersey that they want to buy. What is your thought process on, like, your kids and when they choose jerseys? Do you let them choose a player or team because that team is good, or does, like, their culture or character matter to you?
Well, I can speak on my story. You know, my son is huge. He's huge into NFL football. And he has a loving relationship with the Saints. So anybody on the Saints is key to him. And, you know, when it comes to buying jerseys, You know, the cool thing is that I've got to, introduce him to a lot of friends that have went on to play in other places. So usually my friends are the ones jerseys that he ends up getting. When Jarvis went on to Cleveland, I mean, I'm a big Jarvis fan, one of the hardest working receivers, toughest guys I've ever played with. So when he said he wants a Jarvis jersey, you can have a Jarvis jersey. You know what I'm saying? And then my homeboy Juwan James, he was a right tackle here with the Dolphins. When he went out to Denver, we got him one of his jerseys. He has the Cam Jordan, he has the Drew Brees, he has the Alvin Kamara, he has Michael Thomas, and these are all the guys that he would go spend time with in the locker room. You know, Teddy Bridgewater just went off to Carolina. He got that. You know, he is an LSU fan, which bothers me a little bit. That does bother me because he don't want nothing to do with Towson.
as he should.
Hey, relax.
Like he's doing the right way. He knows, hey, if he wants to cheer for the team in Maryland, he knows where to go. Take it to College Park, man.
No, sir. We're gonna drive right by it. No, I'm just playing. No, but character does matter, man. But, you know, the good thing is he really holds on. He wants the jerseys of the guys that he met along, you know, with being in the locker room with me. That was one of the cool things about having a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old little kid that can, you know, that you can raise and still be playing the sport. I got the chance to take him to the, you know, take him into the locker room and just introduce him to these players, and that's the people he really kind of fell in love with. So him, me buying jerseys for those guys, I have no problem doing it at all.
And I'm new to this right now. You know, for me, I haven't bought him a football jersey yet, but I know exactly what type of guy that I would let him buy. Like, it's different, like you said, when you have a kid, because when I had TJ Younger in Baltimore, he doesn't remember Joe Flacco, right? He doesn't remember Steve Smith when he was, you know, actually on the Ravens. He knows Steve Smith played for the Ravens, but he doesn't remember when I was actually, you know, there because he was a baby. But now, you know, my last year or last year when I was in Carolina in the offseason, you know, he knows Cam, right? He's played with Cam's kids. You know, he knows DJ Moore. He knows Curtis Samuel. So when he asks about guys, I can relate to that. It's like, man, those are people who you're friends with. Then,
for sure,
you know, it makes a lot of sense because he has that personal relationship there. But there are a lot of people like Carson Wentz. He still talks about Carson all the time.
Nice.
And there are certain people, and I'm like, man, but the guys he likes, I actually like. So that's
important.
Yeah,
you know,
that's key right there for me right now.
Yeah, you don't want to get him a jersey of a guy who's, you know, not out here making the right decisions or just not a good person. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why when he asked me for these jerseys, you know, we just don't up and just buy them for him. You know, we try to wait for some kind of special day. You know what I'm saying? But most of the time we get them for him. You know, because I like the people that he, you know, the jerseys that he wants, so I don't mind doing it as long as he always says that his dad is his favorite athlete.
Straight up. But that stuff matters, though, bro. Think about this. We talk about all the time how athletes have a lot of responsibility, whether they want it or not. So as a fan, and I'm talking about us as fans, it should matter whose jersey your child is wearing. Because it isn't just about that player being good at what they do. It has to be something else. You know, so like now with TJ, you know, obviously there's guys that he knows, like he knows Carson Wentz, who I'll buy him a Carson Wentz jersey for sure. Cam Newton, I can't buy him a Patriots jersey.
that's where you draw the line.
That's where the line stops. I can't buy him a Patriots jersey, but I can get him some CN1 gear, right? But you know, you think about certain guys, it's like, man, I wanted to know more about him. You know, I wanted to know, like, hey, you know, if you wanted that Cam Newton shirt from off of Under Armour, then you should know that Cam Newton is a guy that does for people. He cares about people. You know, I've seen Cam Newton after games give homeless people food, like, while we're just chilling. Like, that's just a part of it. That was a part of his routine there. Or he'd give him money as well, right? But there were no cameras there. It didn't matter. You know, I've seen Carson Wentz treat everyone that he came across like they matter to him, like they're a family member to him. And so you think about players and how they work. You know, we can talk about Mark Ingram. That's someone who he talks about all the time. Talk about Lamar Jackson, right?
He has both of those guys. Mark is my guy. I don't know Lamar, but I heard he's a great. Individual. Man. And that's two. That's two. That's the two Ravens jersey he has, man. So like, that's what I love about it. Is like, he's clinged on to the guys that I know, and it's easy. It's easy for me to be like, yeah, I'll go buy you a Mark jersey. That's nothing. Like, you know, that's. That's my guy. You know, any of my friends, because, you know, I try to hang around some good brothers, man. And but it's important, though. It's definitely important. It's not like how we were when we were growing up and we would, you know, admire athletes. We knew nothing about them because there was no social media, really. You just saw what they did on the TV and you were like, yeah. I'm a fan of that person. Then you get a little older and you're like, man, they were that kind of, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they treated people like this, or, you know, they were always in the news. You come to find out when you're young, you know, you just know what you see on TV.
That's crazy. And I think that's why you're an MJ fan. That's exactly why you're an MJ fan.
For sure. Honestly, if I grew up 5 years later, I would definitely probably lean more towards MJ. But it's just like, you know, I remember just – it was one or two NBA games on TV, and just that's what we were watching. And everybody, you just sat around and watched, and it was a big deal. But to see what LeBron has done, you know, first off, he's a better athlete. He's a freak of nature. But what he's done off the field, off the court, is so impactful and it's so inspiring. And you know, when you're raising kids, especially now, especially in our situation where, you know, we've played for a while, you play, what, 9 years, correct? I put in 12, so you're able to provide for your kids more than what you had. And, you know, you got to make sure that you are showing these guys good examples of good human beings, because we're raising these kids different. Like, you know, your kids are definitely raised different than how you were. Mine are. So, you know, you always want to find some good role models for them, you know, show them some good examples of these guys giving back or just being great individuals. So I really appreciate that Cam Newton story, because, you know, the kids need to hear that kind of stuff, because, you know, they live in a very fortunate environment.
Absolutely, man. And I think of, you know, MJ, my son, for sure. I joke about it all the time about Michael Jordan because I'm a LeBron fan, but my son, if he wants a Michael Jordan jersey, he's getting a Michael Jordan jersey.
Oh,
because you talk about a competitor. And listen, he may have been a terrible teammate at times.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I can also tell him present day what Michael Jordan is doing. Right? Yeah. Like, there may be a time he may watch that special and think, Dad, he's mean, right? Or whatever he thinks. But, like, I can show him present day that Michael Jordan is doing great things for people. And I think what matters most, to be able to show them something so it's not just like this fairy tale type thing. Like, oh no, like these are real people just like you, right? Yes. And they're trying to help other people just like you should, right? And they're treating people with respect just like you should. So I think there's a lot of things that we can learn from, you know, who we allow our kids to watch, because they, in a sense, become idols in a way, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I know for sure I wanted to be like Michael Jordan when I was younger. You know, I wanted to be like Vince Carter. I wanted to be like Ken Griffey Jr.
Wanted to be like Deion Sanders with that bandana.
Right.
Them,
you know what I mean? You want to be like them. So I think as parents, we should be more conscious of who we're rooting for and, you know, who we're allowing our kids to support. And, you know, I think we are also in an age where there are a lot of great players to support.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
so I don't think there's a shortage of it, to where back in the day, you know, people might have felt a certain type of way. Like, no, there are athletes in every sport that you can really get behind. You know, right now, I think of, you know, on the basketball side, my son had a Steph Curry jersey. You know, Steph Curry, you know, that's my dude. That's a real good man right there. Great family. You know, so I love him. And, you know, my son lets everyone know that he knows him. So, you know, I think it's always, Steph will always have a special place in the Smith household. But I think of, you know, LeBron James as well, like for all the things you mentioned before, you know, on the football side of the ball, I mean, pick one, right? Patrick Mahomes, right? Lamar Jackson's probably one of the most humble people I've ever met. And he's right here. He's right here in the backyard. TJ will see Lamar 1,000 times over the next 10 years, hopefully, you know, you know, for Lamar's health and longevity in this game. But, you know, it's something special, man, to watch your kids being you.
They have like a real genuine interest in it. And honestly, I can remember the game. It was in Atlanta. It was Miami versus Atlanta. My wife took my son to the game, flew out for that game, and he came back, dude, and it was just like this light bulb clicked. Now he's the biggest NFL fan ever. He knows more people. He knows more people in the league than I do. He's listing off safeties that I haven't heard about, you know, like all these different players, and it's just like, and that's so cool to me. But then, you know, just looking at it, it's like, you know, I did have the opportunity to bring him around some good guys, and he always follows those dudes, man. So it's pretty cool just to see their growth, you know, to being like sports fans.
Yeah, man, it's something I'm for sure looking forward to, being in the stands, cheering with them, going to basketball games or baseball games or wherever it may be, because, you know, to be able to have the opportunity to allow them to see their heroes, whether it's beyond just the screen, you know, that's for sure a privilege, because I never went to anything, you know, until I was a little bit older. But to have the opportunity for them to get closer to it, and even social media nowadays, it allows you to know the real person in a way that, you know, you may not have had in the past. So we have to be thankful for our age and make sure that our kids have other positive examples besides us, and that we continue to challenge each other to grow and to be better men, to be better fathers, to be better leaders, to be better philanthropists, and to make sure that we're doing our part to take care of home, man.
I wholeheartedly agree with that, man. You know, I wholeheartedly agree. You know, we gotta guide them, man. And it's an honor to be in this position to have these little ones looking up to you, you know, because they are definitely watching us and they're definitely watching their favorite stars. So, you know, we just got to keep doing our part.
For sure. But Bushrod, I appreciate you for coming on the podcast, man. This is a great one. I enjoyed it. You know how much love I got for you and the family. I appreciate you giving your time, and I'll catch up with you soon.
Anytime, my brother. I appreciate it. You already know.
Peace.